Good morning, church. Let us pray. Our God, thank you this morning for giving us another opportunity to gather to worship you. Standing before your people this moment, I ask, Father, that may your word this morning penetrate every hardened heart, and may we all be blessed at the end of the message. Visit your people your own special way. I've given myself, Father, use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last Sunday, Pastor Dave helped us to understand what ministry is and what ministry is not. One word that stood out for me was that love for one another. Love for one another. Compassion for one another. And correcting each other in love. That the love should not blind us to the extent that we cannot correct each other. Now, then I have seen that repeated here, that Paul was trying to give clarity. But before then, I asked myself a question, and I'm asking you this morning. Have you ever expected something? Maybe you have an appointment with someone, and it's a very important issue, and you make time to go, you know, to visit that person, and you find out that that person is not there. You will feel disappointed. You will feel disappointed, especially if that is very important for you. The reason is because you must have left some things that are very vital to attend that meeting, but unfortunately, going there, you find out that the person is not there. Or maybe you have a presentation in class, which I believe we have a lot of students here. You have a presentation in class, and the person you've chosen may be someone who is very vocal to actually present the paper on behalf of the group. And suddenly you get to class and you find out that the person is not there. And you did not rehearse, you did not practice what to do, so you are in between flesh and righteousness, right? Yes. You know, I have seen Paul here passing through the same thing. Similar, but we are going to see it in a while. So open with me to 2 Corinthians 2, 12 to 17. Now, when I came to trust for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went unto Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always lead us in triumph in Christ and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Paul came to Trust, and he came with an expectation. What was Paul's expectation? Was that before now, he had sent forth Titus to go, you know, and see how the people are faring. One, so that he can be able to give a feedback on their growth, their standing. Is the church divided? Is the church a good ground for preaching the gospel? Paul didn't have that feedback. And Paul came into Trust, and I will say he was a bit disappointed because Titus was not there. And he was confused. Paul was in a dilemma that he don't know why Titus was not there. Is it that the people did not receive Titus? Was it that they responded negatively to the letter he sent to them before coming? Because he sent them a letter. And he wanted to find out what was their reaction concerning the content of the letter. Did they receive the letter with joy? Are they having grudges in their heart? Will that be a fertile ground for the gospel? Because he has a special place in his heart for the church in Corinth. But Paul didn't find Titus there. Therefore, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. Just like someone that, you know, you are depending on someone for information, for updates, you know, on how to do, what to, where to go, and how to start. So Paul didn't know what to do. Even though there was an open door for ministry, there was an open door for the gospel. And an open door here, this metaphor is consistent with Paul's letters. Especially to the Colossians, Colossians 4:3, he said, praying that at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. Paul came, he didn't find Titus, but he couldn't take advantage of the open door. There was an opportunity for ministry, there was an opportunity to share the gospel, but he could not go ahead to do that because he don't know the present state of the church, and he needed to know. He needed to know. If you are hiring a new pastor, I think the pastor will want to know how the church is faring. When the church was established, when I came here as an intern, Pastor Dave had to take me, you know, to like a few minutes of how this church was founded, how long the church, you know, the church is over 100 years and all that. So I know that because somebody was willing to give me information about the church. Paul needed someone, needed Titus to tell him what is the present condition of the church, so that will give him a clue on how to approach. But Paul said, you know, despite the fact that my primary reason for coming to Trust is for the sake of the gospel, but my spirit, you know, I have no rest in my spirit because I did not find my brother Titus. Titus here is not really the problem. Seeing Titus is not the problem, but knowing what Titus have to say concerning the church was Paul's, you know, concern. So he did not find him. Finding Titus was the only means to which he will know about the reaction, as I said, of the letter he sent to them earlier. Therefore, not finding him, that was a point of concern. Since he was not sure, you know, about, you know, their reaction, how, if they are going to receive him, have they even received Titus? You know, was there any problem in the church? And he needed to know that. It's very important, you know, connecting this to what Paul was what happens in the Corinthians church. So he was eager about the situation. He even delayed his coming because of that, such information. He needed the feedback. Paul's decision to leave was not born by lack of faith or lack of love for the church. You know, I've interacted with a lot of commentaries, and I've seen a lot of people trying to ask questions. Oh, why will Paul then leave because Titus is not there? I know many of you might be having the same question this morning. Why must Paul leave? Since Titus is not there, but opportunity presented itself for the gospel, why didn't he just take advantage of the opportunity? You know, but it was not born out of that. We all have the evidence that Paul's love for this church is unquestionable. In Corinthians 2:4, you know, that was why I said last Sunday, when we were taught about what ministry is, I said one of the words that stood out for me was love for one another. That cannot be questioned when it comes to Paul's, you know, love for this church. Cannot be questioned. And if we go back to 2 Corinthians 2:4, we will find out what he said. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you will be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. Paul loved this church. So his decision not to stay there was not because he did not love them, but the reason is because he truly needed to see Titus. This update, this feedback is important to Paul. But his decision was fueled by the burden of a shepherd. The burden of a shepherd. Or in another word, we can call it pastoral burden. Pastoral burden. If our pastor sometimes tell us why they don't do some certain things we expect them to do, it's because they have a burden in their heart. And the burden is fueled by the love they have for the church. Some decisions they make that you tend to sometimes question the decision. It's not because they don't care about the church, but because they know exactly what is best for the church. So even if you sometimes are not pleased with the decision, but it's actually a burden that a shepherd carries to make sure that things work well. Genuine concern for the church. He was concerned for the church. Hence, that influenced the reason why he needed to see Titus. Strong sense of pastoral responsibility. You know, he knows his responsibility. He didn't just want to jump into it. Then Paul make a switch. After that, we expect frustration, but he ended up saying something. He said, thanks to God. Right? Thanks to God. But thanks to be to God, who always lead us in triumph in Christ and manifest through us the sweet aroma of knowledge of him in every place. Here he made a switch from having no rest to giving thanks to God. Why? Because he led us in triumph in Christ. Giving thanks in this context, Paul admits the fact that the successes recorded in his ministry, he did not see them as his own personal effort, but he returns glory to the giver of strength, to the person to God who gave him wisdom to do it. He did not ascribe praises to himself, but praise to God who leads. Whatever I am able to achieve in ministry is not from my own wisdom, but is from the leadership of God. It's from the leading of God. God leads me. He gave me the strength to do some of the things I have done across all the places, you know, I have been all this while. That God alone is worthy to be exalted, not out of pretense. Paul was not pretending. It was not pretense. This is not hypocrisy. He was not saying that because he wants to show how humble he is. But he is saying this from a sincere heart. You know, he said he leads us in triumph in Christ. And I see Paul here using the imagery of the Roman triumphal procession, where a victor or an army general or a captain, after a victorious war or he conquered a region, you know, he will march on the street with the slaves behind him, and that incense will be burned. And the incense will be burned to the citizens of the Rome of the Roman will perceive that as a victory. To the captives, to the slaves that are in chains, will perceive that as a way of destruction. Anguish, pains. Paul uses that to describe how God leads us in triumph in Christ. Manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. In this procession, they usually burn incense, as I said, a sign of victory. The incense is burned to the gods. So both the spectators and the captives, you know, are perceiving, but they are perceiving it in two different angles, just like what Pastor Dave, how he demonstrated during the children's message. There are good smells and there are bad smells. It depends on the position you are in this context. To the people that are not captives, they will shout for victory. It smells good. It smells nice. To the people in chains, it smells like the diapers, right? So, in this case, Paul sees God himself is the conqueror, and he leads them as part of the procession of the victory parade. We are not the victors. We are not the conquerors. God is. God conquered. We are only opportune. We are given the privilege to be part of the procession. We are privileged to be part of the parade. It's not about us. It's about God. We are only instrument used by God. He is the one leading. Ours is to follow. We speak his mind. We don't give our opinions. So God here is the one that conquered. It's not man that conquered. It's not Apostle Paul nor his co-workers that conquered. They were part We are part of this parade of victory, not as slaves that are in chains, but as people who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not really as slaves that are in chains. We are not following God in chains. Despite the fact that we endure suffering, persecution, all sort of rejection at the cost of the gospel. When pastors should reveal to you the battles they suffer in private, the battles they fought in private. One of my pastors used to tell me that when a pastor does not have peace, it's because the church is not peaceful and the home is not peaceful. I don't know about here, America, but where we are coming from, especially the denomination where I'm coming from. As a pastor, in the midst of the message, somebody can decide to challenge you. A pastor was transferred to a certain church, and he was being introduced alongside his wife and his kids, and he put his hands in his pocket. And after the service, a woman looked at him and said, "Pastor, I hate you." This is not a fairy tale. This is a true life story. She said, "Pastor, I hate you." What was her reason? That he is too boastful. Why will he put his hands in his pocket when he's being introduced in the church? Not because his life is not working in accordance to, his mission. Not because he did something, that is a taboo, that is against the Christian ethics. No, but because he put his hands in his pocket, and for her, that is enough reason to hate the pastor. Paul was not ignorant of the persecution. He was not ignorant of the suffering. He was not ignorant of what we have to pass through, so that God will lead us in triumph in Christ. He's not ignorant of that. For the fact that God is the one leading does not take the place of suffering, does not take the place of persecution, does not take the place that we have to go to prison to some extent. Today, we did not literally have to go to prison, but there are some things, there are some situations you get into that sometimes the only difference with prison is that government feeds you. But you are restless. You have no peace in your heart. But despite the difficulties and the suffering in the apostolic mission, by preaching the word of God, he spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. Right? He spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. Consistency in preaching the gospel, doing that which he is expected to do, doing that which God gave him to do, saying that which God asked him to tell the people. By doing that, he spreads the aroma. Whether the people receive the message or they reject it, every message, people perceive it in different forms. Just like these captives that are in chains, some are shouting Victoria, right? And some are crying in anguish. That is how the word of God comes. He spread the gospel by preaching it. He is not responsible how people respond to it. His responsibility was to preach. His responsibility is not to make sure that the people are right. Like he is not responsible for their reaction. Some will perceive it as aroma. All of them will perceive it as aroma. But as we go further, we'll find out that we are the fragrance of Christ to God. Among those who are saved, to those who hear the word and believe, and among those who are perishing, to those who reject it. There are two types of people, even as we are seated here, those that believe and those that reject the gospel. Just like the church in Corinth, just like every other church. This aroma is perceived, this fragrance is perceived among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. How is it an aroma from death to death? Continue to live in sin, gratifying the desires of the flesh, living without love, consumed by their own disobedience to God. Nothing brings them close to God. They perceive the aroma. They are among those who are perishing. It's actually an aroma from death to death, like the captives. In the other end, to the other, an aroma from life to life. Hope for the eternal life. These people seek to walk daily according to the will of God. Produces spiritual life. A kind of Christ-like life. You cannot compare. It's negative and positive. It's darkness and light. To other people, it's an aroma from death to death. And to other people, it's an aroma from life to life. And who are those people? To those who hear the word of God, who believe the word of God, who received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, who walked in accordance to God's will and purpose, these are people that perceive the aroma from life to life. And to people that live in abject disobedience, to people that disobey God, to people that emphasize fleshly desires rather than God, to people who reject the gospel, these people are perceiving the aroma from death to death. The aroma does two things, and you can't have the two. It either quickens or it kills. It refreshed or it kills. You can't have but the two. You have to choose one. We have to choose one. What type of aroma do we want? Do we want that which quickens? Do we want that which refreshes? Or we want that which kills? That is a choice. Paul ended up saying, we are not like many peddling the word of God. He don't peddle the word of God on the altar of earthly things. Presbyterian, to a large extent, I will say you are lucky. If you come to Africa, like the evangelical churches, you know, that is where the messages are. That is where the true gospel is. The evangelical, the traditional evangelical churches, that is where you find the gospel. But Pentecostal emphasize something that is not really the gospel, that you hardly know where they're coming from, especially Nigeria, where I'm coming from. We have a lot of prosperity you know, pastors. We have them all around the world, but I'm using Nigeria because that is where I'm coming from. If you want to get angry, I talk about Nigeria. Praise the Lord. These people peddled with the gospel. Paul was not ignorant of the false teachers that comes with all sort of words that, you know, will motivate or will make the people or their congregation happy. Paul says that we are not like many who are peddling the word of God. Paul made it clear that we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. He implies that the gospel is not for trade. Do not trade the gospel on the altar of earthly things, worldly things. Therefore, they do not use it to pursue worldly gain that comes from deception or manipulation. That is what Paul was saying. I do not need to deceive you. I do not need to stand here and tell you what sweetens your ears because I want to get an earthly gain in return. We are not like that. Paul wouldn't tamper with God's word, no matter how enticing the situation is outside there. He stood his ground, he stays within the track, and he's saying that we are not like those people that you are used to. It's kind of a boundary that he set. I am not like such people. And this is not coming out of pride. No, so that they will not confuse the good for the bad. They will not confuse what is real to what is not real. We have a pastor. We had a pastor. Definitely not my pastor. But he's a pastor because he called himself a pastor. He was preaching and I was watching in a television. And the reason why I paid attention to the message was that you need to know the truth to know how the lies look like. So I needed to listen to that lie. If not for anything, I will use that to encourage people not to listen to such type of messages. And this pastor read the book of Daniel, and he was giving, you know, about how God saved Daniel from the lions then, you know, and how the astrologers, the soothsayers, and the rest of them, after the king discovered that Daniel was alive, they were sent into the pit. This pastor read this Bible, this scripture, and he ended up telling his congregation that you have to let your Daniel go. It means that the $10 in your pocket still remains $10 because he refused to let it go. So let it go, let your Daniel go, so that in the morning the king will give you a bigger share. And they were shouting, they were screaming. What is your Daniel? Your car keys. What is your Daniel? Your debit cards. What are your Daniels? The cash in your wallet. Are your Daniels? These are some of the messages that people want to be listening to. But Paul is saying that I am not willing to peddle God's word for any reason. I will tell you the truth. You walk by the truth. I don't need to lie to you as a pastor so that you buy the car, you buy me my favorite car. I don't need to. Pastor Dave don't need to come and compromise God's word because he wants you to take care of him as a pastor. No. If he does that, he is not walking in accordance to God's will and purpose. I will say the truth. It's not my responsibility how you process it. But however you process it, some will get it as, you know, an aroma from life to life, while others will perceive it as an aroma from death to death. In this thing I'm talking about, this procession, Paul made it clear. I'm not talking about the false teachers. I'm talking about people that are declaring God's word faithfully. These are the people that will be in the procession as God march for the victory parade. As we serve him faithfully, as we walk with him wholeheartedly, we spread the aroma, and everybody will get to perceive it, just as he spread the perfume during the children section. Now that we don't peddle the word of God for any reason, what do we do? We are sincere, but as for from sincerity, Paul said there is need for sincerity. We are sincere, but as from sincerity, live by the truth, speak the truth of the gospel without fear of what might happen after that. We have to be sincere. We have to be trustworthy. We have to live. And it's not for us to tell people to trust us. It's our attitude, our characters that will determine if people will trust us or not. You don't beg for trust. You earn it. So he said, the need is for us to be sincere. As a greeter in the church, be sincere in where God gives you opportunity to serve. In the worship team, be sincere to do what God has placed you there to do. As a pastor on the pulpit, be sincere to do what God asks you to do. We all have our responsibilities. Some are just coming to this church to make it clean for others to enjoy worshiping God. Be sincere in doing what you're doing. One thing I'm promising you, that is never a waste of time. Don't peddle it for whatever reason. Is Paul saying we should not be taken care of? No. Is Paul saying that do not give Caesar what belongs to Caesar? No. Is Paul saying that those who walk in the altar should not eat from the altar? No. But Paul is saying that we will not lie for you to attract your love. But we will tell you the truth. We will spread the aroma. Then you choose which of it you want to perceive. That of death or that of life. Therefore, brethren, today, I beseech you that we should live as fragrance. We should preach the gospel, not only in word, but in action. Wherever you are opportune to serve in the church. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Father, because you are a loving, faithful, and covenant God. Thank you for saving me through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. I am glad that when I sin, I can come to you in repentance, confessing and forsaking my sins. Today, Father, we ask, O God, that help us to perceive an aroma from life to life. Whatever sin that will bring destruction to us, that will bring us to a place of judgment, Father, we ask, O God, that you save us. Quicken our heart. Steer our heart to seek you. Steer our heart to want to know you more. Even as we gather here in as a church, as brothers, as sisters, help us to be faithful in our worship. Help us to be faithful in our areas of assignments. Help us to be sincere in dealing with one another. Above all, help us to love one another and work together, even as we look up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.